the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Well, that's part of Exodus 20. That's verse 18. And we have, for a couple of days, Bert Harper and I, here on Exploring the Word, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments. And I believe this is so vital for the times in which we live, and we'll continue. And if you've got a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Also, of course, as we always do, we'll get to questions. And on Tuesdays, Bert, a lot of times we pray, and maybe, folks, you don't have so much of a Bible question today, but you've got a prayer request. We would love to hear that, too. Maybe you've got a praise, an answered prayer. We love to praise God for the way that He works in response to the cries of His people. But it's a great day on Exploring the Word, and we're deeply appreciative that you're listening.
We really are. And Alex, it's just a joy to work with you and Brent and Marty and Will. It's just a great Amen. Team effort. And I know you and I get the air time, but without these guys, we would not have the program that we do. And so when you say, oh, man, we appreciate Bert and Alex, Alex and Bert, and we do, we appreciate you guys, but we want everybody to know we appreciate these guys that we get the privilege to working with, our leadership, Amen. Tim Wildman and the leadership team. And Tim will be quickly to tell us, hey, I thought of Exploring the Word. He said, I know all the programs, they're biblical oriented, but they're issued, many of them are issue driven. He said, I want a program that's not issue-driven, but biblically studying. And we get the privilege of filling that place, that hour, each day. And so we're looking forward to it. Again, Exodus chapter 20. Matter of fact, we've gone through it 3 days, and we've taken three of the commandments 3 days. If my addition is right, that's nine. That means we lack number 10. Is it all right if I read that, Alex?
Yes, feel free.
It's verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now, Alex, covet, what does that mean? Does it mean you shall not over-desire, you shall not even compare? Let me just ask, is it lust out of hand? And all lust is out of hand, but it's overrated lust, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And you know, the word covet is in many ways akin to jealousy, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes, and if you've ever taught Sunday school for children and given out snacks or something like that, children can be like this. It's not so much that I want it, but I just don't want you to have it. You know,
it
can be, you know, just unrestrained desire that becomes an obsession.
Alex, is this okay? We know the first four deals with our relationship with God, our worship of Him, honoring Him, even looking at it about the day that's set aside for Him. The next six are manward. But this one is still a little different. This is covet them. And it's still about you and your neighbor and others. But this one puts it in a little different category. Most of us would recognize murder. Most of us, adultery, stealing, lying. But here all of a sudden, you mean I can't do that as well? This is really a big attitude commandment, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and you know, I want to be clear. There's nothing wrong with goal setting. In fact, see, the beautiful thing, Bert, I believe these commandments, these guardrails for life, God gave us these out of love, you know?
Amen.
Now, to be ambitious, to say, okay, I want a better car. I'm going to save up my money, and if I have God's help, I'm going to work my job, save my money, and we'll get a better car. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. To set goals, aspirations. But just like anything, God sets boundaries and a context where blessings can be enjoyed honorably, safely, sustainably, to the maximum degree. To burn up inside with envy over something. I saw a story where somebody got a new car and their neighbor just in anger went out in the night and vandalized it. And it was almost like, I can't have a new car and you're not going to have one either. Stealing is a manifestation of covetousness, but stealing is a manifestation of a lot of things. But, you know, just to grouse and be angry because somebody else got blessed, it's jealousy. And all of these things, Bert, these inner emotions, lust, envy, greed, malice against somebody who over here got blessed, those are unhealthy. And God knows what we need. God even knows what we want. And you know, the beautiful thing, if you'll surrender your life to the Lord, I mentioned it yesterday, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Bert, I'm living proof. If you let Jesus be Jesus, he'll provide everything you need, and he'll even allow you to have some of the things you want.
Amen, Alex. And it is awesome to see God, but an evangelist like you've been, the major part of your adult life and the way you operate and work in the ministries, it is a blessing to see how God has met those needs according to his riches and in abundance over it, like overflowing. And we praise God for that.
It's a walk of faith, isn't it?
It is. And I appreciate that about you. I admire you, and I share that openly with everyone. Let me share this with you. Okay, and I want to bring this down. I know we're looking at it individually, but looking at you shall not covet your neighbors. I want to go pretty personal here. Churches in the same community, same town, the jealousy that can occur among them does not need to be. Now, I want to make a statement, and I'm making it, and I'll speak to it in just a second, but I wanted you to comment. It's not a competition for the people, for the ministries, but it may challenge you to see a church, and they're reaching people, and they've got ministries that are useful, helpful, carrying out the good news of Jesus Christ to the glory of God, and here's a church sitting back and saying, it's not competition, but it should challenge us to look at what we're doing to see what we need to do. It's not necessarily competition, but it should complement. In other words, when I see that church really reaching some people, and I find out, no, not jealousy, not anger, but what I would say, listen, what am I doing? Shouldn't that challenge me as an individual pastor, as a church member, to say, we need to find out what God wants us to do and us do it with all the fiber and every ounce of energy we have. Do you catch what I'm trying to get across?
And look, for those that are in ministry, Bert and I are preachers, and I've got such respect for you that you serve West Jackson in Tupelo for many, many years. And I've learned, goodness, all these years you and I've been together, I've learned so much from you. And you are, in my opinion, you're the personification of what a faithful, humble, godly shepherd is. But there is professional jealousy. And, you know, by the way, here's an old book, and I don't mean to digress, but there was a man named Jack Van Impe, and he died back during COVID, but he wrote a book, and it's worth seeking out if some of you are readers. It's called Heart Disease in Christ's Body, and it was all about how he was doing citywide crusades and how he couldn't get pastors to work together out of professional jealousy. And I mean, that it's kind of an old book, Heart Disease in Christ's Body. But here's the thing. If if somebody else succeeds, praise God. We just care that the Great Commission is moving on down the road. You know, Bert, I got to tell you this. In 2004, I was working for James Dobson at Focus on the Family. What a blessing. And we brought in a lot of speakers for one of the conferences like I do. And we had Josh McDowell and Lee Strobel and Gary Habermas and John Ankerberg and Ravi Zacharias and Erwin Lutzer was there. It was great. Well, Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, was just, as we say, setting the woods on fire. And somebody, the newspaper came, the Colorado Springs Gazette, and somebody said, you know, 10 years ago it was evidence that demands a verdict. You know, Josh, does it bother you that Lee Strobel's book has kind of surpassed your book? And Josh McDowell, he said, oh my goodness, I rejoice. He Amen. Said, I hope The Case for Christ sells 10 times more than everything I've written. He said, me, Strobel, all I care about is the gospel going out, and may God bless whatever book is out there that's true to the gospel. And I thought that was the best perspective, don't you think, Bert?
It is. Let me give you a scripture for this. It's in Philippians chapter 1. Here's what Paul said. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Now again, listen, that's the personification of what Josh McDowell, he said, listen, Jesus Christ being glorified. And here, even in a radio program, a radio network, and there's other radio programs and other networks, I want to tell you, I praise God that they're doing well. Now, does Amen. It cause jealousy? No, it causes me and Alex McFarland and our team to do the very best that we've been called to do with God's leadership, his blessing. So, Alex, that verse 17, I've always looked at that. Yes, it's personal, but we need to look at it in all aspects. It should not compete, no jealousy, but it should challenge us when we see others that are going either personally, professionally, ministry, and we see God blessing them. No, we don't put them down, but it says to us, we need to strive to please him in every way. So, Alex,
Amen.
I think this is a great commandment to, let me just say, the 10, it's a good one to end on because it really checks my attitude about everything I have.
Amen. Well, attitude, that's right, and we need to watch our attitude. Guard your heart, Amen. For out of it flows the issues of life. And one last verse, and then we're going to move on to the verse that I read at the beginning there, but James 4:6, it says, God gives more grace. It says that God opposes the proud, but shows favor or grace to the humble.
Amen.
Let's not be jealous or covetous. Let's just lift up Jesus, and he'll bless us. He'll
really
bless
will.
Us in the ways that we need to be blessed.
Amen. We're going to be back, and we're going to start in verse 18, finish chapter 20. Possibly go into 21. We think we will. We'll see. Stay tuned for more. If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why Everyday Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28. And $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for.
To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
Amen. This is Tuesday, and Brent is reminding us that today on Tuesday, we take them all week, prayer requests, we take questions, but on this day, we're taking questions and prayers. We're asking for that, and probably once a month, every Tuesday, we ask for prayers alone, and so I would say they outrank questions when that happens. But today is a day of questions and prayers. So in just a few minutes, you'll get ready. And that number that you can put it down and have it ready is 888-589-8840. The lines are not open yet, so don't try it yet. But close to the end of the list segment, the lines will be open and we'll be ready to take your calls. But Alex, talking about phone calls, let me tell you about this. Share-a-thon's coming up, and we're still receiving listener stories about how AFR has blessed your life. And Alex and I, we're doing this and saying, especially, we hear them all the time. When Alex travels, he hears it all over the United States, how AFR and Exploring the Word has blessed people. And so he's saying, how about calling in and making about a 1-minute or 2-minute listener story about how AFR has God, let me put it this way, how God has used AFR to bless your life. And if you would do that, that number is 877-876-8893. Let me give it to you again, 877-876-8893. Now, that's the listener story number if you would want to share what God has done in your life through AFR. Alex, we love to hear about what God has done, don't we?
Well, we do, and I'm so blessed. Like you said, in all my traveling, I meet people just all across the United States who talk about how God has used this radio network and the content and all the great programming to help them in their walk and their witness. So we give God the glory. And, you know, I want to say this, during the Share-a-thon times, the listening audience of the American Family Radio Network is unbelievably faithful, and it really is making a difference. Every city that I'm in, we see people get saved. I was just in Kansas. I was just in Indiana. I was in North Carolina. Next month, we're going to be in Alabama. And I just want to say, it is making a difference. And Bert, maybe we'll do this on another story, but a lot of the Lifeway, the Barna Research Group, Pew Research Forum, study after study shows that America is turning back to Christianity. People of all ages, especially young people, are buying Bibles. Bert, I was on Fox News about a month ago, and they were showing in many of the bookstores, the major book retailers, the Bible shelves are nearly empty because so many people are buying a copy of the Word of God. And people are coming back to church. So, hey, we're fighting the good fight. God is blessing. It is making a difference. And every last one of you that is a part of AFA, and Bert and myself, we're all a team together. We're Team Jesus, aren't we?
Amen. That's great. Team Jesus. And we praise God for that. And I want to remind what my coach would always say, there's no I in team. And but I want to tell you, it is about Jesus. Well, let's look, if we could, at verse 18 and finish this out. It's 26 verses. Now, I love that. Always notice these transition words. Therefore is obvious. Wherefore is obvious. But is office. All easy to see. But now is there, or then. It says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings, flashes, sounds of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Let me put a thought in here. I believe I would have been one of those that that point stood afar off, Alex.
Exactly.
I mean, this is something. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, God came down on that mountain and met with Moses. In verse 19, they said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but do not let God speak with us, lest we die." You know, Moses, you went up into the presence of God and lived. You tell us what he said, and we'll do it, but don't let God speak to us because we would die. But Moses said to the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your eyes, that you sin not." And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Bert, there is a reverence.
Yes.
There is a humility before God, isn't there?
There really is. Love compels me, but I would say this reverence compels me as well. Alex, you know, when we present something with our children, we have a positive reward, but there's also that idea of discipline. And knowing God and knowing the love of God and then knowing the holiness of God balances us out. I just want to say, I think he can go. Now, God is his holy. He's holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I understand that. I know that. But he also, this holy God, is loving and caring. And so don't get out of balance on either or. Both of them are heavyweights, okay? You know, they're not lightweight. This, I don't think one outweighs the other, because God's holiness could only be, for us, could only be satisfied through the sacrificial death of his son, Jesus Christ, which he did in love, so that we would come unto him and know him. So here you do see this, a reverential fear, reverential trust in God. And yes, I would say, hey, we preach both and, not either or, do we?
Well, that's true. That's true. It is. God is a God of love. God is a God of holiness. God shows grace, but God also is a God of judgment. And we will give an account for our life. Now, if you'll put your faith in Jesus to be saved, the question of where you'll spend eternity is settled. Now, as a born-again believer, we will give an account for our stewardship, you know, everything we do post-salvation. But I want to just momentarily comment on, in verse 21, what's translated thick darkness. Because you might be thinking, well, God is light and God is life. And what does this mean, thick darkness? Well, just hang with me. The Hebrew word is arafel, A-R-A-P-H-E-L. And it does mean thick darkness. It even means gloom or dread. Now you think, well, wait a minute. You know, the loving Lord, why would we dread that? I was looking in a lexicon, Bert. It was talking about the veil. Really, in mercy, God kind of set a boundary between his holiness and our fallenness, just like there was a curtain in the temple between the outer court and the Holy of Holies. Now, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, that curtain was torn, symbolizing that the way to the eternal Almighty God is accessible through Jesus. But here's the thing, and I'll throw it back to you, Bert. While God is love and God is mercy, we don't just rush into his presence any old way. Now, in Christ, we are prepared to have a relationship with God. And he's our advocate, and we are washed in the blood, wrapped in his righteousness, indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But in and of ourselves, in a fallen, finite, profane state, no, you're not ready to enter the presence of God.
Amen.
And so that thick darkness, there's no evil in God, there's no sin in God, obviously, but there is a holiness.
Amen.
And a power that is beyond what we understand, and it deserves our humility and reverence.
It really does. And this separateness that Alex has just talked about, Jesus was able to bridge it. They stood afar off. Moses, we've said, he stands as a shadow of Jesus Christ, you know, one that would be a representation of what Christ was like. He's the interceder, and you'll find Moses interceding for these people again and again and again, and it's that thick darkness separation that really helps us. Is there some mystery to it? Yes, there is, and that's the reason some people will call and ask questions, Alex, and we'll have to say, well, that's a mystery to us as well, because God's ways and his depth is so much more than us, even knowing Christ, knowing the Word, having the Holy Spirit in our lives. God is so big, and so this is representing this separateness of God. But Jesus breaks, tore the veil, so we can approach him. Verses 22 and 26, let me read this all the straight through, and then I'll hand it over to you, Alex. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have taught with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves," very emphatic, "an altar of earth. You shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings, your peace offerings, your sheep, your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you, and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone." You can't carve it up, make it look like something. No, take it as I've given it to you. "For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it." Now, again, I think come back to verse 26 in a moment, and I think it'd help. But, Alex, God expects us to worship. That's the whole idea. And at this point in time, at Rephidim, they worshiped God. At these different places that they would go through, they would represent, they would worship God. But the day is coming when they get into their promised land that God's going to give them one particular place to offer sacrifice. But that hasn't been built yet. It hasn't been. So what they're doing here and what God is saying to you, and I believe this is all my heart, I think this is evangelical. I believe this is missional. Okay, you can, where you are and I speak to you, you can call upon me there. Do you catch a little bit of what I'm, do you see that in
very
that?
Good.
Let me ask you that.
Very good. Have you ever heard that old phrase, you can't improve upon perfection?
Amen. Yeah.
Let me say, I'm going to get to verse 25 here in a second, but let me just point out, I love in verse 24, God says, you're going to make an altar, and there's going to be sacrifices. "In all the places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee." In other words, if you come my way, and again, folks, all of these animal sacrifices, they were pictorial of the Lamb of God that would come. The blood of the sacrifice was a temporary covering for sin. The blood of Jesus, the permanent eradication of sin. But God was essentially saying in verse 24 here, look, wherever you go, you're on a journey. You're not going to be at Sinai forever. You're en route to the promised land. But everywhere you go, I'll be with you, and I'll record my name. I'll be with you. Now, Bert, don't we want the name of the Savior recorded everywhere? We want, as Habakkuk would say, the knowledge of the Lord to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So let's do what we can do to make sure his name not only is recorded in every place, but recorded on every heart. Verse 25, "If thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone." Rocks can be very beautiful. And natural, you know, you find rocks and even boulders. They're just the way God made them. I could take 25 and run with it and say we don't improve on the gospel. We don't need to help out the gospel and tidy it up. The gospel is the way God gave it, and that's the perfect message, isn't it?
It is. Now, who is the rock of our salvation?
Jesus.
No, Jesus Christ. So, again, Alex, you do an awesome job. Oh, hey, this is a picture of Christ. You do an awesome job at that, and I enjoy You bringing that out, just about any time it's in the scripture, you're going to bring it out. But here is the stone, the rock. And I know he told Peter, you know, you're the little stone. I'm the big rock. You know, Christ was saying, I believe it with all my heart. So here, you don't improve on what God has done. You can't improve on salvation. There's not a plan B. There's not an alternate route. It's only through Christ. And again, you don't try to carve it out yourself. You can't make a religion of man-made religion, which you have all over the world. That's not, if it's not Christ, it is man-made. If it's not in Christ, it's man-made. And you've hewn it out, and you have profaned it. The truth is profaned. Alex, this is what we stand on. The truth, Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I've told you many times, I'm not a great guy when it comes to the grammar in English, but I did learn what a definite article was. And so he's the one of the only kind, isn't he?
Yeah, well, yes, T-H-E. He is not merely a way. Jesus is the way. And, you know, Jude verse 3 says that we are proclaiming the faith once delivered to the saints. It's not up for revision. You know, Bert, just this very morning I was reading an article, and it was trying to justify homosexuality in the modern world with Christianity. And they quoted some scholar, allegedly, and he said, well, we just don't know that the Bible is adequate for the complexities of the modern world. Well, yes, it is.
Amen, it is.
And the question is not how complex is the modern world. The question is, are sinful humans humble enough to turn to the Savior who alone can wash them clean?
Amen. Only Jesus. And just know that. Hey, we're going to take phone calls. We're asking for your questions. We also are ready to receive prayer requests. That number is 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear you today.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
A phenomenon of new media is the proliferation of streaming. There are many, many streaming channels, and believe it or not all of them are providing wholesome content. For that, you can visit stream.afa.net. There you'll find Christian-based lessons and sermons, as well as original movies from American Family Studios. You'll also find video versions of some of your favorite AFR programs. Media has changed, but there's still good stuff available. Find it at stream.afa.net.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Matthew 19:14.
Just a little faith, and your father's heard every
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here. We're going to get to the calls and praises and prayer requests. I want to mention something. We've got a speaker series in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and the website is alexmcfarland.com/conversations. alexmcfarland.com/conversations. And Bert, we're bringing in Charlie Kirk and Lauren Green from Fox News. But May 4th, and that's coming up quickly, we have Dinesh D'Souza. It's going to be phenomenal. Now, listen carefully, if you would. If you happen to be in the Myrtle Beach, Charleston, Dillon, Florence, Wilmington, all those areas, next Wednesday and Thursday, I'm buying your lunch, folks. Now listen to this. Wednesday, March 26th, Thursday, March 27th, we've got two luncheons, one kind of in Myrtle Beach, one in North Myrtle Beach. If you would come, and space is limited, we've got a great meal for you, and you're going to get a free book. I'm going to give a short talk, and then we're going to tell you about how biblical worldview can help energize your church. Whoever you are, maybe you're a pastor, youth pastor, maybe you're just a godly person who cares about the spiritual health of our nation. Here's what I want you to do. If you want to come to our lunches, do this. Contact@alexmcfarland.com. Just C-O-N-T-A-C-T, contact@alexmcfarland.com. And if you're in the Myrtle Beach area, Wednesday next week, 26, or Thursday the 27, hey, lunch is on me. I'd love to meet you. We'll give you a book, and we're going to talk to you about our speaker series. Contact@alexmcfarland.com.
And it's always a blessing to be around Alex and just be a part of that. I pray you will do that. Well, we're going to get to you quickly. But we take, as Alex said, questions, prayers, and sometimes we get praises. Brent, we just got one. Was it Facebook or email?
Yes, Rose on Facebook. She says okay. She can't call, but she wants to give a praise. Her daughter was away from God for many years, but she has woke up, and she sees God moving in a mighty way. She was also out of work for about 5.5 months, and she just got a job today.
Amen. That's a good Amen. Woke, Alex.
That's a very good woke.
That's
Praise
a good woke.
God. That
Amen.
Woke up was
Praise
in parentheses.
God. Praise God. Well, let's go to the phone calls. Greg in Tennessee, thank you for calling. Greg, go right ahead.
Yes. First off, I know you hear it all the time, but your show is such a blessing. And even Brett's buffer music, I found my new favorite gospel song. So thank you for that.
Amen. Way to go, Brent. Go ahead, Greg.
I was talking to a friend today, and he asked me a question that I did not have a good sound biblical answer to, and I thought I'd see if you gentlemen could give me a good answer. So he's married. It's about 4 years ago. He got texting with a gal and got an emotional connection with her. But it went on for about 2 weeks, and he ended it, and he never went any further, never even met up with her. And he has confessed to God, and his question to me was, is it a commandment to tell his wife because he knows it's going to be a problem with her, even though, so that was his question to me, and I'm just passing that along, and I'd appreciate anything you tell me.
Okay, Greg. I'll say this, Greg, cutting it off in 2 weeks was wise. I want to give a warning, and we'd talk about whether to tell his wife or not. But men out there, listen, make a covenant with your eyes. Also, with these days, we just talked about Facebook. We've talked about that, chat rooms, and it causes all kinds of emotional relationships that should not happen. I just want to tell you, you not only need to make a covenant with your eyes at looking at a woman, you've got to also covenant with your eyes about looking what they're saying in these rooms. And the same with women. Alex, we need to surround ourselves. And it says, and you used it earlier, guarding our hearts. We do need to do that desperately, don't we?
That's why, let me just say, you know, Angie and I have been married 36 years, and the Lord has blessed us so much. And she's got crowns in heaven for, you know, I say this, Angie raised me in many ways. And a good godly wife will do that. A good godly wife will civilize her husband. But here's something I want to say. Do not have secrets from your spouse.
Amen.
I believe that. Now, that being said, and Bert, you feel free to refute or rebuke what I'm about to say. Trust is, if trust is lost, it's very hard to rebuild. Imagine you drop and you break a mirror. You could glue it back together, but it's going to have a bunch of cracks. I don't know, and I'm all about transparency and honesty. First of all, the best thing, and I want to say this to everybody in the internet age, but especially men, do not start a conversation or some infatuation. Don't start it, and you won't have to fix it. I don't know, Bert. I just don't know. It could break trust that might never be recovered. It could be very demoralizing. It's good that he broke it off. It's good that nothing happened. Should he tell this to his wife? Bert, I solicit your wisdom.
I'll put it this way. If she found out from some other source, what would it do? And he'd say, oh, she'd never find out. I just want to tell you, they can do it. I think you've got to be honest.
Okay.
I understand the harm it might cause, but greater harm could be done otherwise. But guys, Greg, I hope that helps. This is hard. It's not an easy answer, but yeah. I just want to say, what would be the worst scenario? It would be that his wife find out something, even that 2-week time period, find out something that took place in this. Somebody say something about it. And she coming up to him and saying, what is this I've heard? So I think it would be wise to do so. And, pray through it. Pray through it, yeah. Greg, and do what God would have you to do. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Arkansas. Lynn, thank you for calling today.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got two things to mention. One is a praise, and the other one is a question. So the praise is that I have a lot of things coming up, and I was totally overwhelmed. And I have a tree that was right by the road, but partly on my property, and it was so tall that, I mean, it was a very expensive tree to take down, and I didn't have the money. Bottom line, I called the city, and they said no. They told me to call the electric company, and they said no. About 5 days later, we were having heavy winds here, so you can guess what happened. I was taking a shower, and I came out, and I thought, I don't see that tree. It was like I didn't believe my eyes, and it had fallen, and it fell on the road. And my neighbors are raising their 5 grandchildren. And, I mean, it could have been so bad. Somebody could have gotten killed. But that tree fell on its own. Well, I kind of feel like it was an answer to prayer. Because I just asked the Lord. I just said, this is beyond me. I can't deal with this. And it would wave back and forth in the wind, and it was making me very uneasy. Anyway, so
I'm glad God took care of it for you, Lynn. Amen. Hey, we can trust him even with what? Trees? We sure can. You got Amen. A question, Lynn? We don't want to cut you off, but I'm praising God. I know how that is. I've had some of those as well.
Yeah. So anyway, my question is, I was reading the Bible the other day, and I don't remember where this was, but I know you guys have heard it. It was when somebody was dead and an apostle laid on their body and brought them back to life. And I know that the cult in Redding, California, they do what they call grave soaking. But I was thinking, okay, this was an apostle, but this was a real apostle. At least that's what the version of my Bible said. So I wanted to know if you could comment on that.
Okay, Lynn, thank you. Alex, we had something similar in the Old Testament. We got some in the New Testament, too, as well, don't we?
Yeah, in the New Testament, the apostle, and by the way, an apostle is one that was with Jesus, and Paul was an apostle. And Bert, this is in Acts 20. a young man named Eutychus. And I got to tell you, and forgive me if I'm speaking out of school here, I've always found this to be very humorous.
I do, too. You know I'm looking for laughter. I love it. Go ahead, man.
So Eutychus is a young man. Maybe he's 18, 19, 20. I don't know. But by the way, his name, the word Eutychus, means fortunate. And indeed, he was. So Paul is upstairs preaching. He's sitting in the windowsill. And it says that Paul preached into the night. And apparently, this young man nodded off, fell out of the window to his death. He's down there, two stories down. Paul says, "Do not be alarmed, he's alive." Paul laid on him and, in other words, like threw himself on the ground, prayed over this young man. He resurrects. They go back upstairs, and Paul keeps on preaching.
Amen.
Hey, this is a miracle.
My people at West Jackson Street, you was talking about it earlier, they'd say, "Now listen, you're not Paul, and we're not Eutychus. So don't preach exactly so long, Bert." But anyway, thank
and,
you, Lynn.
If you fall out of the window, I can't make any promises.
Me either. Thank you, Lynn. Let's go to Iowa and talk to Don. Don, thank you for calling.
Well, hello. Alex, I met you at the Cedar River Bible Conference here a couple of years ago. Had my son with me. And
I'm going to be back in August.
That's awesome.
Praise God.
He presented you with a walnut cross that he had scroll sawed. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Listen, we've got that. Was that your son?
Yes.
Amen. Please tell him I appreciate that. I was thinking about that the other day. And folks, what he did, and forgive me, what's your son's name?
Isaac.
Isaac had made this incredibly beautiful cross that he, I guess, made on a scroll saw or a router, and Angie and I have that in our kitchen. So, yes, I well remember you guys. Yeah.
Well, I will tell him hi if I can, but I got a huge problem right now. And okay. My wife of 34 years left me the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, my
and
word.
She took Isaac with him. I've got five kids. And the youngest one is still with me. He's 10 years old, and she hasn't had contact with him since then. She's kind of abandoned him, and I'm just looking for prayer. I think she's got some issues upstairs, but
I'm so sorry.
Bad situation.
Okay.
I am very, very sorry.
What we want everyone to do, we treat this like a prayer meeting, Sunday school, Bible school class, where you take prayer requests. And most folks, write those names down. If you can write Don's name down right now and just pray for him, pray for his wife to start thinking and come to herself. The prodigal son had crooked thinking, and when he got mm-hmm. difficulty, he came to himself. That's one of the most important words or phrases. He came to himself. We're praying that for Don's wife. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for Don. And right now, we're praying for him for strength and wisdom. May he guard his heart, Father, and may he get into your word and look to see the direction and all that you'd have him to do. We pray for his wife, God, as we said about the prodigal son, that he would come to himself like Gomer, Hosea's wife, that, Father, that she would be, he could be even redeemed. She could be redeemed and be coming back to him, to the family. We're praying this and believing this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Don, we're praying.
My goodness.
Yes. We go to Mississippi. Is it Levine or Levine?
Lorraine.
Lorraine. Okay, go right ahead.
On Friday, during the heavy winds, a church in Oklahoma, the power line was blown, and it caused the church to catch on fire. And I wanted to ask y'all to please pray for this church and pray for the pastor. The name of the church is Rainy, like the rain that comes down, R-A-I-N-Y. And Iowa Indian Baptist Church, and the sanctuary burnt to the ground. The wind was like over 70 miles an hour, so they did what they could, but they did save the dining hall, but the sanctuary was burnt to the ground. The pastor's name is Gerald Haunpo, H-A-U-N-P-O. So please pray for that church and for the pastor and the leaders.
We'll do it. Listen, we got a prayer list here, so pray for Rainey. Is it Indian Baptist Church? Did I understand that right?
Rainy Mountain, Kiowa, Indian Baptist Church.
Okay. And then Jared Haunpo?
Gerald Haunpo, H-A-U-N-P-O is the pastor.
Okay. Pray for them. Thank you for that call. Man, our time has gotten away from us. We got a minute left. Myra, Chad, Harold, Randy, Andrew, call us back. We do want to talk to you. We get to as many as we can, answer as completely as we can. But on Tuesdays, we do our best to take prayers and praises first. But tomorrow, we'll be back. Alex, you going to be ready to answer some questions tomorrow, brother?
Let's do it. Let's do it again tomorrow.
And read ahead. It is Exodus 21. It's an interesting thing. We're going to get into some. Let me say, Alex, we're about to get into some nitty-gritty things, aren't we?
Some nitty-gritty. And, folks, if you would, tell somebody about Exploring the Word. You know, you can listen to this show again and hear all the archived shows at AFR.net. We always say this, tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.